Hey, everybody. Today, we're talking Confederate monuments and all that and more on Black Hollywood Lives This Week.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live This Week.
Yep, there it is.
Where's that beat? We got to be specific today, too. Little Jay-Z. Little cool intro. Yeah,
best song.
Let that beat kick in for a second.
Because you want to get to the, like, one good part.
You know, like, you know, that moment, you know.
He did so well.
Yay, he did.
440.
That's right.
You guys see all the music videos yet?
I saw them, yeah.
That's so good.
I think there's, like, just a couple I haven't seen, but yeah.
The Friends one is the bomb.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives This Week. That's right, we play a little Jay-Z for the intro right there. I'm your host, Daryl Kristen. Joining me today is Joelle Monique.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Yup, yup.
And Courtney Stewart.
What's up, y'all? I'm everywhere at Stewart Starlet because I'm going to do what you do now.
Hey.
Jesse Denny's not here today, but he will
He's
return.
Healing,
for the next
y'all.
Show.
He's healing, y'all. He got to get better. He had allergic reactions.
He did. Yes. He didn't want to come in here looking like a lobster, he said, apparently.
Yeah, he looked like a lobster with some cream.
With some cream. But we are very excited because we have two special guests today.
Yay.
Looking lovely in maroon and yellow. First off, we have legendary actress Margaret Avery with us today.
Woo! Welcome, welcome.
And another legend in her own right, Angela Gibbs.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome, welcome,
welcome. You both look very beautiful. Very summery.
I know.
Yeah, it's the summer.
This is LA.
That's true.
It's always sunny in LA.
It's summer all the time.
We are blessed.
That's right.
Amen. We really are.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
No quakes yet?
No quakes.
Okay. Knock on something.
Knock on something.
Right. Plastic, wood.
Myself. Bricks, everything.
Whatever.
That's right.
I do have a fear of that. So.
And we're out of our drought.
Yeah,
yes.
That too is
yes,
true.
Ma'am.
Technically, they said we are.
Okay.
But, right. You know.
Okay, well, I'm happy about that. They've been talking about that for a minute, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you two ladies for joining us today. We got a fun show. We're going to talk about a couple of topics, and then we're going to get in everything that you two are doing as well.
Okay, thank you for
having
us. And this child, I've known her since she was just...
Yay, hi.
Yeah. She's talking about she has kids and grown kids.
And let me throw this in there since you started. When I was new to acting, I've been acting a little bit. My mother and I started in Watts, and then
Marla Gibbs is my mother.
And we went over to this theater, Zodiac Theater.
Right.
And there was a place. See, I can tell you, I've never forgotten it. Mm-hmm. Called Does a Tiger Wear a Necktie?
Oh.
And Miss Margaret Avery, honey, you was killing it.
You part elephant.
I am part. I am.
That's a t-shirt right there.
I like that. Part
yes,
part
you need
elephant.
That.
Right? I remember some long time ago, but names and stuff like that. I'm like, what? Who? But and she killed it. And I
Thank
remember
so
being,
much.
Oh, you were so good.
I've never cried so much. That started my TV career. Because Clint Eastwood came to that little raggedy theater and saw me and cast me in his Magnum Force, the first of Dirty Harry movies. And that opened the door to television for me.
I looked at you and I was like, oh, my God. I was like, okay, can I ever do something like this?
Yeah.
I mean, she was just amazing.
And
you're
killing
amazing.
It now.
Thank you.
See, I like all this.
All right.
Aries?
Yes.
But everybody thinks I'm in January, so I get...
Oh, Capricorn.
I get a lot of... happy birthdays in January, so I
take
say,
them all.
Well,
yeah. 2 months to party. That's what I say.
Blessing, but I'm really an Aries, but that's okay. I'm tax day.
Oh.
So I'm happy if I got my taxes.
And I'm 2 days after tax.
I ain't like Trump. I get them in.
Well, we are going to be talking about this. He's actually a topic that we'll be discussing today.
That topic already started. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, we're going to go back a little bit first and talk about somebody else because obviously we got to talk about Cheetos like we have had to do for the last couple weeks. But first up, we're going to talk about Jay-Z because he was in the news again this week because he did an interview on his Tidal's Rap Radar with host Elliot Wilson and Brian B. Dot Miller labeled Part 1. It was an hour and about 10 minutes long of all kinds of fascinating stuff about Jay-Z. It was like a get-to-know Jay-Z moment for those of y'all that have Tidal and got to see it or didn't get to see it.
And it really was true.
Yeah.
It really true because you can't believe everything.
You can't. That's true.
That's why I'm getting birthday wishes in January.
That is true.
That's true.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
But that's good.
Yeah, but it seemed very authentic and genuine and chill, and he really addressed a lot of different stuff, from his beefs with Kanye, the fight in the elevator with Solange, his like transitions and how he made the album and what everything kind of means. And he just seemed really honest and direct and upfront. And I mean, obviously we don't know what's true or what's not true, but you know, he seemed honest to me.
What was it on?
It was on Tidal. They have a Rap Radar is like their like podcast show that's on Tidal. So I think some clips got released like
they
on
sure
the web
did.
On the web somewhere, but the you have to have Tidal.
Well, I commend him because it's not easy to be truthful about your confidential self.
Yes.
You know, and to share that.
Yes.
And hopefully people listen and can relate to it,
for
learn
sure.
from it. And it sounds like to me that it's like a self-healing thing for him to
it
share
did,
it.
Definitely.
He can move on and he's grown from the experience.
And he definitely talked a lot about his own growth and things that have changed. And the thing that made it also seem really authentic is there was a moment they were asking something about Beyonce. And he was like, oh, I don't know if I should really talk about that. She wouldn't be, I'm going to keep that to my, that's between us. So there were definitely, like, it wasn't like, I'm telling you everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seemed really honest. That being said, he did make some interesting comments about the culture, as we like to call it these days. And he basically was specifically referring to black entrepreneurs and how he felt that, you know, it's kind of shocking how we really don't support our fellow black entrepreneurs. And it's, he just doesn't understand how that would be the case. And he was using the example of LeVar Ball, who is the father of Lonzo Ball, who is a rookie for the Lakers and like this huge, like everybody is looking at him. He's the next big, amazing thing. So LeVar Ball obviously has gotten a little trouble over the last year or so, sort of. A lot of people say he got big mouth, kind of run off his mouth and doing a lot of things. But he wants to start and brand his son and his son's sneakers on his own. He wants to be like the next Nike. With his son. And so he's been selling these sneakers for like
$325. Yeah, it's like
$325. And Jay-Z spoke to the fact that he purchased three pairs of these sneakers. And he was like, I don't care. I mean, they're not the best sneakers ever in the world, but I'm going to support this man. He's got a dream. And why wouldn't we support him? Like, and he went on to say, quote, Nike had to start somewhere. Why do we get so upset when we, us as a culture, want to start our own shit?
Right.
That shit is puzzling to me. I sit back like, and I'm like, this makes no sense. Why can't he start a sneaker company? People say, oh, you're dumb. Your sneakers are terrible. They weren't any more terrible than some I've seen. Bad sneakers from Under Armour. I've seen some bad Michael Jordan sneakers. Horrible. Michael Jordan is obviously greatest at making sneakers. And at some point, he was selling through Nike. And at some point, he broke away. He started building the Jordan brand. And I'm sure that was difficult. And I'm sure people at that time was like, you playing yourself. You're leaving Nike. Man, all due respect, fuck Nike. And I don't mean personally. I mean, fuck the thing. Everyone has this reverence towards these things. I'm sure when we started Roc Nation, everyone said to join Universal or Def Jam, we built a brand. We are culture. Nothing moves without us. We just continue to give it away. And
yes,
it's cool. We can still participate. Nike still works with Jordan. It's just the nature of our relationship has to change. So a lot of people had a lot to say about him saying that, but I mean, I thought it resonated real strong, and I thought it was fabulous that he said it and that message.
But it's
getting
a complex issue.
It is very complex.
You know, it is.
I mean, yeah, it really is.
It's a lot of it's our history.
It comes way back.
It's our self-esteem. It's how we feel about one another, maybe some of the jealousies,
absolutely.
And then and ignorance.
Yeah.
You know. There are cultures when a child reaches of age, 15, 16, they're getting savings bonds or what are we giving? Nikes or whatever. But, I mean, it's an education. And I could go on and on. It's not one answer. Because even in Los Angeles, I feel that there should be more black-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
As they are, when I'm in Atlanta, shooting being Mary Jane, they're all kinds of black-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get them sparsely here, we don't support them enough.
Right.
And another thing, too, when we have a big social event or conference or what, where are we running to? We're always running to the white men's venue.
Hotels, etc.
Yeah.
True.
Right.
Why don't we come to our own?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We have to learn to support one another.
And like you said, it's complex. I mean, it goes all the way back. I hate to always go here. But it really does. It goes all the way back to slavery, and it's the whole idea of we're not as good as, you know, segregation, even though it needed to change.
Yeah.
Integration did come about. We ran. We were so happy to be over on that in that neighborhood and accepted in that store, and our businesses died on the vine because we've been told that that's better.
Yeah.
And so now when you try to be on par with what's over there, dominant culture, etc., we get you know, slayed by our own people because it's, well, who are you
yeah.
to think you can do that? But it's still the self-hatred. And although we have to at the same time recognize and celebrate that we are business owners and entrepreneurs, and
absolutely,
we are out there, and it's getting better, and we just have to become, I think, more committed, mm-hmm, if you will, to.
And I'm gonna throw a little ringer in that now.
Yeah.
I've been living in Los Angeles more than 40 years, and own my property. Well, the bank still owns it because I keep refinancing. But.
I've done
a lot of remodeling and this and that, and I've tried to support my people, mm-hmm, and the only people who have screwed over me have been my people.
Mm-hmm.
It's always an excuse. Oh, somebody stole my tools. Or they, when I hire Latinos,
mm-hmm,
and I, please now, I'm not trying to be down. I still got hope, but. But the Latinos, they come, they want to work. If they're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, honey, they're there at 20 minutes of 8, assembling, getting their tools out. And they do what they say they want to do. And so we have to be more responsible. When you have a business, know how to run that business.
Yeah.
Don't. It's not just. It's hard running a business.
Yes, it is.
Sure.
Yes, it is.
When you're self-employed, you're working harder than everybody.
That's
right. That's
you
right.
Know, you don't have a check
right.
coming in,
no,
and the customer.
Don't.
Please, black restaurants, remember the customer is always right. Make that customer feel special. Don't be, with your waitress, don't be mad because you showed up.
Right.
She said mad because you showed up.
Oh, my God.
You know, I just want some sweet tea.
So all of you out there listening, I know that you know what I'm talking about. So the bottom line, though, we are beautiful. We have a lot of talent. We just need to get together, be supportive, network among ourselves,
yes,
help each other. That's
yes.
why Black Girls Rock the
yes.
other night was
amazing,
so beautiful.
Right? Yeah. Awesome.
Because we got to see women who have done things and doing things for others.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what made their
right.
success
right.
so special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So,
and I feel like
we can't give up on it. We just can't give up.
Yeah,
we
no,
can't,
no.
Like that guy who's not showing up on time. You can't give up. We just
no.
got.
But she
keep
said
up.
Maybe.
maybe. But I feel like it's getting a little bit better because of the fact we did a story not too long ago about certain artists or TV personalities wanted to support black-owned banks,
uh-huh.
and there's many that are popping up.
Right.
So there has been a misconception or a misconception of people not feeling safe putting their money in black-owned banks. Like, why are you feeling
no,
unsafe
right,
about that?
Right.
What's the difference of this bank and Citibank? You know
right.
what I mean?
That's probably the reason is that most people don't
know
the difference between the banks.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, I know the Jay-Z speaks from a lot of personal experience with Tidal. When we launched Tidal, people were like, Spotify already exists. Why are we doing this? And Jay-Z was like, well, this is in the hands of the artists, which is a movement you guys continually vocally support with, like, the Chance the Rappers, who hasn't signed with a record label, and a bunch of other artists now coming out saying, I don't need to sign because I have the internet supports me. I'm fine. But I also think, like, with, like, I have Tidal currently. I got it when Jay-Z's album came out.
Me too, girl.
I don't know if I'm going to keep it. Just service-wise, like, I love Jay-Z. I want to support these artists. I like having Beyoncé's latest album on there. It's very helpful. Spotify doesn't help me with that. But they don't have, like,
the number of albums. They don't have, like, I don't know. Like, the app just isn't as fluid. And maybe it gets better. Like, my plan was to keep it for 6 months. We'll see how it does. But I just think that, especially for, like, the Jay-Z's of the world, when you're releasing a new product, like, I just don't know why Tidal went after Spotify so hard.
This child sure can talk fast. I'm trying to make sure I can listen that
fast. I was seeing you your earrings. I just want your...
Oh, you can hear it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You can hear it. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, okay.
As beautiful as those earrings
are.
There you go. That's perfect.
How about this?
They're real pretty.
They were pretty. I'm taking them away. You saw them, huh?
And you can purchase those at...
Yes, yes.
Where they go in.
All right.
But I want to just throw this caveat in. My mother had a business, Marla's Memory Lane.
Right.
And
fabulous.
Same kind of thing. And we had a theater, and
she hired me once, you know.
She did?
Yes. I sang.
You sang it all.
And honey, the Muslims there were fabulous.
We had Muslim security.
Yes.
She had the best food. Mm-hmm. And then we had a theater that she did the restaurant while I did the theater, which 227 came out of it. It was a play first and then became a TV show. And when I tell you how hard it was to get us to support us, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you, like Margaret said, Muslim security, the best food.
Oh, they were in their suits.
Like, why are you all over here? You know.
Escorting me to my car.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have to support each other. I'm just
so classy.
We can do better, y'all. That's
we can do better.
Good.
And we're going to.
We're
working progress.
Work in progress. We got a lot better, though, hopefully.
All right. Well, speaking of works in progress, our government's still a work in progress, apparently. Is our president. So, you know, we talked last week, it was, about Charlottesville and all those crazy comments and whatnot, and he, you know, decided this week, like, I'm gonna go to a rally and I'm gonna, you know, talk some more. He spoke for 75 minutes, y'all. Did anybody try to watch that?
No.
No.
Okay. I didn't bother.
I watched the 3-minute highlight.
Yes. I mean,
because who can do more?
I mean, I had to, I couldn't when it was on Tuesday, and then I had to go back because we're doing the story, so I was like, let me actually listen to the whole thing.
I think I was watching Mary Jane. Maybe that's what it was.
Nice.
That was a much better choice. Basically, this rally was supposed to, like, bring people together and be talking about, you know, united we stand and all of this great stuff. And they had a couple speakers that went up before him that did that. They said, hey, we can work together. We should be together. We're America. This is amazing. Well, bro, Trump got up there and he basically said, initially he started out for like the first 3 minutes of the speech talking about how amazing the crowd was and how the fake media will never cover how amazing and how many people are in the crowd listening to him right now. And how he's been center stage.
Did he really have a lot of people this time?
I mean, it was some people. There was a lot of people, but they also said a lot of people were starting to leave once he started talking. But it's just that he harps on the fact that he was center stage and had all these crowds while he was in the presidential race. And we're like, but what are you talking about? Anyway.
Narcissist, raging.
He's insane. But he went on and he basically spoke about a few different things. One of them being his threat to shut down the government if he does not receive funding for the wall that he said Mexico was going to pay for. So he made that threat in that speech. He also threatened, I mean, he basically said again that all the media is fake, and he attacked every journalist and said how horrible they are and how horrible they have been. He attacked two of the senators that are Republican from the state that he was in and called them trash and all kinds of things. He also repeatedly referred to the protesters. These were the people that were protesting, like the Charlottesville Nazis. He referred to them as thugs. And he coyly hinted that he will pardon Joe Arpaio, who was the former sheriff of Maricopa County, who was convicted in July of criminal contempt in Arizona for ignoring a judge's order to stop detaining people because of being suspected as immigrants. So he kind of like jokingly made it seem like he's going to pardon this guy who has been found guilty of doing something that a judge told him not to do. And in the last 24 hours, he retweeted the meme of himself and Obama, which is funny because I only saw the meme initially on Eclipse Day that had Obama eclipsing Trump in front of Trump.
Someone literally just copied it.
And somebody flipped it, and he retweeted the flip where he's eclipsing Obama.
Yeah, and he's getting criticized for that because, first of all, the media was talking about how late he is. That's an old joke at this point. And the fact that you stole the same thing. You weren't even creative about it. You know.
But how presidential is any of this? Why do you have time to do this?
Exactly. I have no idea.
Go to his meetings. He finds them boring. They have to give him very short written statements that he can read.
This is true. It is true. They just say he likes pictures.
And they have to make sure that they have SEO copy for Trump, essentially, which is search engine optimization, for those of you who don't know, where they put his name in repeatedly. Yeah. They'll bold it, make it a little bit bigger so that his eye is drawn to it so that they can get some information into his brain about the country he is running.
I think we have to think about how we can survive him.
Please tell me.
Because if we really get saturated in his negativity, we're going to become negative.
Yes.
True.
And go backwards. I have a scar here from a German Shepherd bite during the Civil Rights Day, when we were just trying to get the right to vote equally, to sit at the counters.
Yeah.
And there are too many people who have worked so hard, sacrificed their lives for the progress that we have made. We've got a long way to go, but we don't need to be dragged back. And we're spending the news, we're spending a lot of energy talking about this crazy man.
Yeah.
And he wants to take us back. I mean, there are no nice people if you're marching with the Nazis and white supremacists. And so I don't know what Congress, the Republican Congress, is going to do in the Senate because they can't. I think there seems to be a lot of reacting now of saying, hey, I mean, as a matter of fact, because from what I understand, Trump did want to get rid of Mueller, the investigator.
He
was going to do that when Congress was on vacation, on break.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress got together and said, oh, no, 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 you will not. We're going to have this investigation.
Right. Yeah.
And they, whatever steps they did, it was prevented him from being able to do that. So there is hope.
There is hope.
I mean, there is some light that's being shown. I mean, I think people knew what they were getting, but they thought that maybe they could control him, and maybe get a lot done in Congress. I had hoped that, because with a Republican Congress and Senate, you would think, oh, okay, let's at least them get something done. It won't be like they did Obama. But I think it's going to get better. And I noticed, too, that when President Trump lashes out and all of that, I think that the investigation is getting closer.
Mm.
And he's setting himself up for fake news. So when the news does come out, his base that he keeps preaching to,
that's a good point.
Will say, that's "Oh, we don't believe it."
Exactly.
Because the closer they get, from my perspective, the more crazy he gets.
Oh, he's isolated.
Because his son, I remember his son during the campaign was on an interview, and he said, the question was, will your father show his taxes? And his son, being naive and not really, I guess, prepped for the press, he says, oh, no, he'll never do that. That'll kill us. And I never heard that interview again. I never They never showed that again. And all this business of him, of President Trump saying, I'm under, what was it, audit?
Audit,
And then after he won president, you never know about those taxes.
You don't hear about it anymore.
Those taxes reveal something. I mean, it's just
of
like,
course.
With Hillary, I mean, she deleted those, they said, 3,000 emails. Mm-hmm. There was a reason she deleted them. I sure would want to know.
I was hoping it was in the book.
It was on her personal, what you call it?
The personal server.
Yeah, so sometimes I think, well, was she having an affair? or did she call Obama the N-word?
That would make it very interesting.
That would be a good reason.
What would you do? I mean, you figure these emails on your private server, they're private.
In private conversations.
You know, it's like you have a private moment in your home, in the bathroom or whatever. So, Miss Hillary, I love you, but I do want to know. Did you guys hear the
excerpt from her book that she was reading that like kind of went around where she was talking about the moment where she was on the debate stage with Trump and he was following her around and breathing down her neck?
And
she asked the question, like, what should I have done? Like, what would you guys have done? Like,
it would have been great if she said, motherfucker, that was her point. She's like, I wanted to tell her to back up from my woman.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, in that debate, he had those women that were wired knowing that they could never speak. Mm. But he did that to shake her, thinking that these women that were reporting that he had done something. He had them wired like they were going to ask a question that they had already been told they couldn't speak. But I want to speak to something you said. I totally agree with you. This is a hard place to be. James Baldwin said to be black and aware in America is to be in a constant rage. You know?
Yes, it is.
I'm paraphrasing, but basically that was what he said. And I was young and at Howard at the time, and I remember I read that, and I didn't quite understand, but I get it as I grow older and I see what's happening. And there is a collective consciousness that we all are responsible for. And if we buy into the hate, then we help create more of that, right? Mm-hmm. So I look at it. I mean, it was a hard night when he was winning. I had to turn the TV off and go to bed
because
I could not believe. I just couldn't believe it, right? Yeah. And the media helped that. I mean, he was like the opening news every day because everybody thought it was a joke.
But they gave him a platform, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I want to say that in terms of collective consciousness that, you know, King says is love is the answer. And I look at, okay, well, then why? Why? Somebody up there, wherever you is, why? Please give me an answer.
What's the reason this is happening, right?
And it woke a lot of people up. And you have whites who thought they were conscious, but they're conscious now. Right. Mm-hmm. They're marching. We're dealing with racism. We told you that. And people are becoming more active. We got to become leaders in our own community. We can no longer wait for the government to give us subsidies, help us with, you know, create, you know, facilities and things like that in our communities that we need. We can't wait for that. We have to be the authors of our destiny. We have to be the ones that are shepherding, you know, our communities into something that's positive and more productive. We're aware now that we're on our own. And so truly, maybe that's a good thing in terms of the actions that we have to take. So,
as my grandmother says, you need a shake up to wake up. So,
she is right about that
because we're definitely in a shake up.
But we're not the ones that wanted the shake up.
That's true.
And now that it is, I mean, you know, be careful what you ask for.
Right.
But I think we're going to grow from this.
Right.
I hope so. I mean, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have seen the latest reports about the alleged impeachment that is still pending. They were one of his team members actually just said, I think it was on CNN, but he was saying that if he would be impeached, that it actually would be terrible because it would spark so many racial wars that would happen because there's so much on both sides so many people against him, so many people still for him. Right. I mean, we saw obviously what happened to Charlottesville. Like, those people would be five times that if he gets impeached because then they're going to be coming even, you know, with more hate.
I feel like that's the best thing to happen, though. Like, if there's all of this tension, I feel like ignoring it or trying to shove it back down is not the way forward. I think addressing it and having these frank, open discussions about race and about, you know, like,
I mean, we're still having the debate about whether affirmative action is a good thing or not. Like, these exhausting discussions that we haven't... I feel like some of these things need closure, and coming to a head might get us there faster.
Yeah. But then
we get Pence, and isn't that worse?
Well, I mean, Pence is... I mean...
At least we know where he stands, though. Yeah. That's the only thing I say. Right. At least we
I look at Pence, and I see lethal.
I see. Like, because he knows how to work and how to make it all happen exactly how. Like, right now, Trump just running off at the mouth and crazy, and people are like, oh, what's happening?
He's the one I'm with the nuclear calls.
He would play by the rules. He would play by the rules, and then maybe we can
like
use the rules.
He thinks children can be cured of gayness with electricity, so obviously he's an idiot. But
right.
But at least he knows politics. Like, is that better? Is that a step up? I don't know.
I don't know. But what I also
think it's dangerous.
As a student of history, we all know major change in this country has only happened with bloodshed and major bloodshed, and that's my fear. So as I sit here and I'm like, this is the light here, and they're telling me how to refigure my brain to think and find, because I literally have spent the week like, that's why I couldn't watch the speech on Tuesday.
We're effed,
excuse my language, but we're fucked.
Yeah.
And then to my thinking is literally every time I think about what has happened over the course of history and how things have changed in this country and like major change that happened, like really to get rid of slavery, we lost a third of the population to get rid of slavery.
Yeah.
And then it took how many people had to die in between time for all of that to get to the civil rights movement and only to have further horrific death continue to happen during the civil rights movement to shift us a little bit more forward. So
just a little bit,
you know, and then that amount that we move forward, we still didn't quite take it fully into now.
Listen, because the stuff that we're right now with how they're killing our kids in the street, there's an arrogance that exists within the police force. All police are not bad. I'm not saying that, but I almost sometimes draw a correlation between that, the fact that we had an African American president, you know, and it's like we're taking them down.
But the positive thing though is that those people that marched in Boston, it was a lot of white people. Prove that they did not believe in our opposition. So I think there's a lot of positive and hope in that. And I didn't see that many black people.
Yeah.
You know, so you're absolutely right.
That's true.
And so
is Boston a heavily black city though? I'm genuinely asking. I don't
probably
know.
In pockets.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
And I don't know.
So I think we have to.
But she brings up a very good point, because you do have these whites now that are really clear that they don't want to be identified.
No, and the Jewish people, you know, because they were shouting, Jews will not replace us. Or,
right. Yeah, Jews yeah, that's will, exactly
you know.
What they were
so it's heavy.
It's heavy. It's continuing to be heavy. In fact, our next subject that we're talking about is how do you guys feel about all these Confederate monuments being taken down, or the argument of them being taken down, because former Atlanta mayor and civil rights activist Andrew Young has asked for Stone Mountain in northern Georgia to actually stay up, and this is his reasoning. So Stonewall Mountain is actually has the face of Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and Jefferson Davis carved into the mountainside. And this is what Young said about his reasoning for wanting to keep it. He said, that is a tremendous carving, and I don't want to see that destroyed. I don't care who it is. He says, what worries me is that this country will turn to the right so that it'll be. He said, they'll be taking down Martin Luther King statues next when the racist majority takes over. And I'm saying that a minority can't be provoking a racist majority that is still underemployed, undereducated, and dying faster than we are. That the issue is life and death, not some stupid monument, is what his quote was with this.
But you know what? Remember the old thing when they say, you cannot forget from whence you've come?
Yeah.
We cannot forget our history.
True.
We do have history. And by trying to erase it, that's like never acknowledging what black people have contributed in our history books. You go to these public schools, at least when I was going, all I learned was that Carver invented the peanut. Yeah. That's all they said about my people.
It has not changed.
So,
right.
But I'm just saying there must be a way that we can honor the history in a way that's respectful.
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't glorify slave owners and violence.
But I don't think that we should, like, tear monument down. Yeah. Maybe we could put it in a museum or something.
There's a great request going around to do a garden, a statue garden, with these old monuments that gives texture and contextualizes who these people were and what they did. Because I think there's something to be said of art, and especially knowing that these statues came, as we talked about last week, the statues coming around the civil rights era in order to impose a white superiority. Being able to take that down and talk about why these statues were made and looking at how they were constructed, I think, is vital to our history and understanding.
It could be educational.
But as for Stone Mountain? No, you could take that one down.
Take Stone Mountain down.
Blow it up.
I went to school. Not take the mountain down. That carving. Because the same way we're talking about, like, how, well, black people have these self-esteem issues and things that you don't know, and because we don't, there's a lot of ignorance, and there's a lot of ignorance on both sides of the thing. I was a child in Atlanta, Georgia, for all of elementary school and most of middle school, and they took us to Stone Mountain to literally be like, wow, this is not like contextually saying, like, these were traitors to the Union.
Yeah.
That caught what, like, obviously, some of us are intelligent and read and figured
so
out.
So we have
to
change the presentation.
But you have to change the presentation. Yeah. And it definitely, and I don't necessarily believe, because we just did a story maybe 6 months ago about those books in Texas that are being printed, where they literally printed that black Africans came to this country as immigrants, but they was on slave ships.
Yeah.
And that was in print that children are reading. So we have not equipped our country in any way to be like, well, leave the monuments up, put them in a box, put them in a museum, do whatever. But those should not be in public spaces where we're accepting that as something that has, like, done something great for our...
I think specifically Stone Mountain, because Stone Mountain, the way it's designed, it's like a family, like, eat-out. Like, it's very weird to go there and see people picnicking and laughing and, like, shooting toy guns and things there with, like, essentially traitors standing up, but, like, it's a very...
Right, in the photo,
It's weird, and it's bizarre, and it's a
it's
very
icky feeling. It's like watching the KKK march
while
you're sitting there having a picnic.
That's exactly... but like, that's what it was meant for. That's like, that's why it was done. It wasn't done as an artistic moment in our culture. It was done to make black people uncomfortable and not want to be at Stone Mountain, and to remind them that they don't belong there. And I don't understand why we want to keep pretending like that's not where these things came from.
Right.
It wasn't Greek mythology, like, exploring the amazingness.
But it sounds like what you're saying, it's the way it's presented. And I still say that we cannot erase our history.
I agree.
We can make
it. We
need to be reminded, and we need to grow from it. We need to know that, hey, we're much better now. But this business, I know that I was in, and I'll name the place. It was Columbia, Georgia. I did a little play there. It was just a one-nighter thing. And in the hotel, I'm lying down, and I like to have my windows open, shades. I love to be able to see the sun being blessed with another day. And I'm lying in my bed, and I look up, and I see this tall building, and they have the Confederate flag.
Ugh.
Not the American flag.
No, the Confederate flag.
Just the Confederate flag. Now, that I detest. If you're going to have the Confederate flag, you've got to have the American flag. If our flag isn't good enough, then you need to not be in this country.
I know, that's right.
That's right.
And if there are things wrong with this country, we can't just be complaining. We've got to figure out how to make it better. It's the easiest thing is for us to complain and talk about Trump, but we need to be also talking about how can we continue to move forward and not have what he is instilling, the hate that he's trying to instill. How can we combat it?
That's true.
How can we not? We just have to have our faith, and action speaks so much more than words. But that's about this thing that we just spoke about earlier, helping each other and supporting each other and making sure, listen to Maxine Waters and our Congress people.
Maxine is coming in. She's going hard, too.
I love it.
Yes,
she's not playing.
She's not playing. Yes.
Well, it's an interesting statistics that came out about this whole debate about the monument. So 44% of African Americans believe Confederate memorials should stay, compared with 40% who say they should be removed. Nationwide, 6 in 10 Americans say the monuments should remain.
Wow. How much?
Six and ten.
Because
six
most of them ten, think okay. they're these brilliant statues that were created and honoring.
Well, I don't know. Do they think it's brilliant, or do they feel like what Margaret is saying is that we don't want to whitewash our history either, where it's like I've got grandbabies now who I'm teaching, and we're sitting and watching.
Ooh, I'm feeling old. You got grandbabies.
It almost didn't come out. I was like, I got grandbabies. And we're teaching them because we have to. Mm-hmm. And we have them sit and watch civil rights, documentaries, et cetera. And, I mean, at 11 and et cetera. And they're smart. And so I have to say, I don't know how I'm feeling because after listening to you,
We have to get our history.
Let me say that.
We have to know where we came from, and we have to have some insight about these history books that are lying.
Oh, absolutely. It's a presentation. The narrative has to change.
We got to get rid of the lies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
However, I do get a sense of what you're saying, because I lived in Atlanta and I lived in Stone Mountain, that there are some monuments that maybe they can be moved.
Because it is there to intimidate.
And that has to stop. The intimidation has to stop.
It might be that mirror on the wall, and don't you forget it.
That's right. We're being reminded all the time. We definitely will not be forgetting anytime soon.
Right.
But we're going to move on now to talk about YouTube, because we've given Trump enough info.
Let's talk about Trump, the chump, the chump. So YouTube doing
amazing work out there, setting the tone for us and for many people who are just in the entertainment business, who inspire to be in the entertainment business. You two are the force that are really making things happen. So we'll start with Margaret. I mean, being Mary Jane, I mean, this show.
It's literally taken over.
I mean, everyone, I know males who love it, I know females who love it, my mother and sister, every time it comes on, they're watching it. You are such an influential person on that show. And what do you think it is about the show that has just really transformed the way TV has changed and why people love the show so much?
Well, and are you going to have an affair? I'm sorry.
First, I have to give credit to the creators. It was Mara Brock, Akil, Celine. I mean, they came up with this. And so, and we had, three seasons with them before they moved on to doing other wonderful things.
Yes.
Richard Roundtree, who plays my husband, he and I said the first day that the cast got together at Round Table, and we said, thank you, because we come from an era where white people wrote the scripts, and they wrote what they thought we should say.
Yeah.
And as far as having tender moments in relationships, we used to have, I remember, because I come from blaxploitation times when, it's just always cops and robbers, the black man's gotten in jail, he's in trouble, and I'm crying on cue.
Right, that's true.
And we used to say to the director, well, listen, in the scene, can't we have a tender moment here? Can I touch him? Can we have a kiss? I mean, they wouldn't. I mean, it was like there were no relationships. It was just good and bad acting, socially. He's running from the cops and then me crying, whatever. So that, to me, was the biggest change, the writing and talking about issues that people can relate to that are real. That not only black people are experiencing, but other people do. Now, about my character, I really like the idea of showing the black family intact,
mm-hmm.
because the black family is such an endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
So when they made my character get a little naughty, I actually cried.
I was just gonna ask.
I said, "Oh no!" I went to the writers. I said, "Please, don't. Do I have to do this?" And they said, "Oh yes." I said, "Oh no."
That was me last night watching it. Like, no, don't do that.
So on from an acting standpoint, though, it gives the character more conflict because, you mm-hmm. know, to make yes. your character interesting, you got to have conflict. Right, so, right. And this, and it has already aired. I just hate to say it totally what happened because there are a lot of people who are behind and they see it on Netflix or something. But I just feel that from what's happening with Helen Patterson now, my character, it's something that's real, and so it's something that the family has to heal from, mm-hmm. like we have to do as a people now that we just mentioned about our president. So I don't know if it's coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping that it will, but I'm, my hope is that people have learned something, even Raven Goodwin's character, you know, from women who have had babies out of wedlock. Her character has been evolving. And Mary Jane, her character has been evolving. She's, I think you're going to find that she's not jumping in and out of bed with everybody. So, oh, I'm sorry, Gabriel. I think maybe Wade had something to do with it. She gonna kill me. But I'm hoping that people have learned from the show or are learning from the show, and it's not just all fluff. It's real life. You like it?
I love the show so much for those very reasons. And I remember one show. I'm gonna go back a little bit where the woman killed herself.
That's Latarsha Rose. Beautiful. Yes.
Never saw. She's a great person. Like that. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and was
how that subject was, and that my friend is Richard Lawson, and how mm-hmm. that scene played itself out, and there wasn't a happy ending. There was Mary Jane had a voice, but I'd like that it was flawed, and it was conflicting, you know. Mm-hmm. You have someone who was fighting.
That's our writers to not now. Have yeah. It's the writers.
They showed up anyway, mm-hmm. and that's life.
Yeah,
that's it
life.
Is.
I thought it was amazing, but I'm just.
But they back say, there, like, you know, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage.
That's right. That's right. I think they really think hard about them, you know, how they want to present our lives, and like you said, they give you all the opportunity to have those tender moments, mm-hmm. which is also our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's great.
Well, we were going back and talking about one time. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Joelle. We were talking about how the fact that when you look at television, yes, we've seen the comedies within the Black family household, but we haven't seen a lot of dramas of showcasing real life for what it is in the African American community. Right. And this show gives you that. You know, we deal with everything that everybody else deals with, and it's never been put in light.
A lot
as much
of the current issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just so great to see Mary Jane, who's like a career-based woman, struggle, which I think for Black women going into careers, we often have to be 4 times better than anyone we're competing against. And then when we get on TV, you just see a finished product. You just see the final, like, you know, they're on top of their jobs. They're the best at what they do. But it's a process to get there. And seeing Mary Jane live in the mess that is her life and struggling to, and still coming out on top most of the time, it's kind of inspirational.
It,
you
know? It is.
Have you seen a shift in the...
Did you say the S-H-I-T?
Oh, sorry, shift.
Oh, okay.
What did you say?
What did you say?
You about to get chastised.
Even if I did say it, I would act like I didn't say it.
I'm thinking maybe I didn't put the earphones on.
I was like, if I did say it, I was like, I'm not going to say it again. She came back looking like, I'm going to whoop you right now.
That was a whooping right now.
She's like, take your belt off.
I'm going to put on punishment or something.
Have you seen a huge shift in leading Black women in Hollywood for both of you?
Ava DuVernay.
I absolutely.
Or the opportunity, because
absolutely.
Okay, because we see that. I was having a conversation with an actor friend of mine, and they were saying that, you know, yes, there's a lot of new projects, and we have, you know, people like Issa Rae who are doing their thing and like killing it. Ava DuVernay, but on the flip side of that, they were saying there still isn't a lot of roles or as many roles as they think we should be. Have available with what
well,
we have in Hollywood.
But that's
right now.
From the old thing. Like I said, I've been in Hollywood 40 years. 40 years. And in my span of a career of almost 50 years, we still don't have our people in decision-making positions. And that's the whole thing. I mean, there's a lot of serious ideas that have been shopped around, but we don't have anyone in those studios that can say yes. And that's why Color Purple was made, directed by a white man, Steven Spielberg, because there was no black man in Hollywood that could get a green light. And he was the only white man in Hollywood that agreed to do it. So when blacks were talking about, we shouldn't be having no white men telling our stories, honey, that's the only way the story got told.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm always thinking, gee, why don't we do this and why don't we do that? And then I find out that it has been shopped, but nobody bought it.
Listen, Ava, well, I want to answer your question and say, yes, there is a shift. I totally agree with what you're saying. It's not enough.
Yeah.
However, the shift is, and it's because of exactly what you're saying, because the shift that we're seeing is at the hands of black men and black women storytellers, and especially black women. You got Queen Sugar that's also fabulous.
Oh, yes.
So, and Abel, you know, is a part of that, and Oprah's a part of that. And so we're seeing women that are textured, that are flawed, that are universal, that just come in the skin, however, through the lens of our culture. And no one knows our culture and what's happening under the skin, like we do, right? Mm-hmm. And not that, you know, whites can't write it. They're not interested in writing it.
You know, we don't write the Jewish stories.
Right. And they don't let it write. And I remember going to see Ava years ago when I was at a film festival. I had a short film, and she was speaking on a panel, and I spoke to her then and kept in touch. And so she had this film called, what was it? And I Will Follow.
Mm.
Small film. Beverly Todd is in it. Oh. Sally Richardson. Omari Hardwick was in it. And I went to go see it. And she had four walls and theaters because she comes from that PR background.
Yeah.
And she said, she stood there. And I had been trying to get a film done. I was close to getting it done. I had Regina King involved. Mm. Kyrie Irving was interested. And it was about the juvenile delinquent system and privatization of prisons. Way back when, and you know, we were interested, but nobody was helping us or giving us any money. And so when she said, I emptied my account, I spent $50,000 on this film.
Wow.
Because I got tired of Hollywood saying, go away, little black girl, we're not interested in your stories. I teared up because I had had this script, and we had been close so many times.
And she had $50,000.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute, come on now. Wait, Margaret, wait a minute.
I
wasn't going to say it. But since you said it, let me say this. I was like, damn, I got to get $50,000. Look, how I'm going to do that? No, she's right. But I thought that too. Like, wow, good for you.
It took me a minute to comprehend it.
And she said, listen. I promise you, when I was listening to her, I was like this, but on the inside, I was like, you got $50,000. But you know, and today, to make a film for $50,000, it's still, that's brave, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I remember I teared up because at some point you get so much rejection.
Oh, yeah.
You think it's you. Mm-hmm. You think you need another rewrite. Yeah. You think there's some, you know, you forget, the climate. Is it's a racial, racially charged climate even in Hollywood. There are certain stories they don't want to see. Mm-hmm. When my mother fought for 227, and it was told you it was a play that turned into a show. And I'm not gonna badmouth anyone. Mm-hmm. However, the powers y'all can just look it up. You know who the powers were. Not that Norman Lear or any of those folks were. They did a lot of good in terms of some of our shows that were out there. Because again, like with Spielberg's, they weren't making those shows. So we got these shows like 227, The Jeffersons, etc. However, there was still the idea of the woman needs to be in the house alone. She don't need a man. My mother had to fight to have a husband. Mm-hmm. They wanted someone else who was a wrestling hero to be the white guy to be the hero in the neighborhood for all the kids, right? Oh, wow. My mother had to fight and had to threaten to walk away with her project before they said, okay, right? So there's just that, we have to fight. Mm-hmm. We have to be brave enough to fight. Or brave enough to empty our account. You know, and like Ava said that day, I'm officially broke. Of course, she's not anymore.
She's just
very far from that, but she put in the time to do it.
Yeah, she did. To say, this story is so important to me that I will get it done if I have to, lose everything I have, right? And we got to applaud her for that, because look where she is now. So, yes, it's changing.
And what would happen if we only saw our films? Didn't spend all the money going to the other films.
See, there you go. Come on now. That's revolutionary right there. Okay.
But how do we have to be able to organize that and everybody be strong and hold it together? And that's our big weakness, not being able to stick together. Because the money talks, walks.
It does. You know?
We're
consumers.
Yeah. And we can even contextualize that in the conversation of USC released their numbers today on the new statistics. The new pilots for this season, 89% male, 89% white.
That's still baffling to me, though, because I feel like we've seen so many new projects that have just come along in the last year, especially from the success of Insecure and all these things.
Right.
I would think that number would be different.
It's still mind-numbing to me that they're not like mining YouTube for more Issa Rae's when there are at least four other people we can name right now that could do an Issa Rae level project and be just as successful. It's baffling to me that they keep saying, well, nobody wants to see these films, when it's clear to me. And people clamoring for different stories. We're inundated with so many stories. Why do you guys keep trying to tell the same ones over and over again?
Right.
It's boring.
Because it's easy.
Are you going to cut us because it's like 6:30?
I don't mean edit,
you know.
Because
I want to make sure everybody knows my Instagram.
Yeah,
I love that for a reason, though. She's an OG.
Miss Avery, what does your Instagram say right now? She brought it up. Right to your camera.
Now, see,
tell us.
It's because I'm old and Instagram is for young folks.
No, honey.
Instagram for everybody.
I wanted to know. Margaret Shug Avery.
Yes.
Now don't spell it S-U-G because that's Sug. But I know you try to do Sugar Lord, the S-U-G, but it's Margaret. M-A-R-G-A-R. Don't leave that second A out. I'm going to say it again. M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T. Shug. S-H-U-G.
Yes, ma'am.
Avery.
There you go.
There we go. Y'all.
Very.
Support me, y'all. Because I don't have enough,
We got to get her some followers, y'all.
Right? Yeah. She knows that. Now you go on an interview and they want to know what you're following.
It's crazy.
And these white folks that are casting, they don't care nothing about me being legendary or nothing. They be looking at my Instagram following.
No, that's very true.
It's crazy.
Right.
That's maddening, just so you know. That upsets the hell out of me. I know it's true. I obviously know, but come on.
So help me, y'all. You guys that are listening, help me. Come follow me. Because now if I do a picture with Taraji, which I did.
Yes.
It'll go up.
I mean, but they won't. I'll get a hit, but they don't follow me. They don't. They go and leave.
Follow, y'all.
You got to keep putting it out.
And blame it on who is it?
Proud Mary, right?
Proud Mary.
Yes. Proud Mary.
That's supposed to be out in January.
You got
to
go see that. You've seen her. You've seen her ads. Ooh, yes. I love that. Now, see, that's progress.
That's progress. And she's perfect for that role, too.
Yeah, and she's shooting that gun and coming all in. I said, ooh, I wish they'd do like a little black grandma doing that.
Me too.
That's real. Put it out there.
Me too.
Put it out there.
We do have to wrap up, so but I have two quick questions for you. I don't know if you do too, Joelle, but for Angela, you have had such an extensive resume. I mean, you worked on The Revenant. Obviously, All Eyes on Me. You know, you were the one who transformed Demetrius into Tupac. Yes, you know, what would you tell up-and-coming young directors, actors, producers, such as yourself, who are entering this business? Or what would you tell your young self who entered into this business?
You know, first of all, confidence.
And that comes from experience or something, you know, knowing your craft, studying.
You've got to study. You know, everyone I work with, they've got to do the research. If you're not going to do the research, if you haven't read the script, if you're not studying, then I'm not going to do it.
Because you don't want to blow your opportunity.
Right, absolutely.
In Hollywood, you get one chance.
Right,
and it better be good.
Yeah.
Now, you know, white boys, they get more than one chance. We don't.
They do.
So know your stuff. Angela.
No, absolutely no. And I say confidence in that if it's what you want to do. Now, I'm going to get a little holy-roly here, but if it's what you want to do, then I just feel like there's a divine source that breathed it in you.
That's true.
Own it.
Mm-hmm.
Own it. Don't let anyone else tell you can't do it. Mm-hmm. So you got to stand on that. And I do a lot of first-timers, too, as well, like in Revenant and with Demetrius. You got to stand on it, right, and the confidence that you are worthy of this role. You are worthy of this film as a director. You are worthy of it because it was breathed in you, so own it. So that's the first thing. So stand by your voice, stand by your vision, right? People will say, well, why do you want to do that? You sure you want to do that? And then they'll go, oh, wow.
You're talking about directing or something.
Yes, okay. Directing as well. Right, if you're director, because you mentioned directors as well.
Uh-huh.
The other thing, though, is to know your craft and study. Study other films. Study other actors. You know, take classes. Take workshops. Be around like minds who will lift you when you feel like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. They'll say, yes, you can.
Yeah, you need that.
Exactly, right. And be around people that are smarter than you. Don't be afraid.
And not negative.
And not, without a doubt. That's right. Don't be afraid to be around people who know more than you do. That's how you learn. That's how you learn.
Be a sponge.
So I guess I would say it's a faith walk. It's about standing in your vision, standing in your power. It's about being surrounded by like minds and like spirits. And it's about doing your homework and knowing your craft.
Not just to make money. It's got to be your passion.
Yes.
It's not, as an actor, it's not so you could be get to be in a series or be a star. Because I worked a long time for nothing, just getting the experience, studying, doing free theater.
That's right.
How I was discovered, I said earlier. I wasn't getting paid in that play. And the thing about experience and building a strong foundation, you can't build a house on a weak foundation, right?
That's true.
You can't build a relationship on a weak foundation.
That's right.
It's got to be a strong foundation because my career has not been easy. I work with directors who don't know nothing.
Right? No, it's true.
Particularly in television. So you have to know what to do, and you have to know when a director don't know nothing, and just go with what you have learned.
Right.
There are times when I could have just fallen apart, because some of the directors I've worked with just had an ego and wanted, you work with Steven Spielberg, this television now, after Color Purple, and they were anal retentive.
Right.
That's, you know what that means, anal retentive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. You don't know that. Okay. That's a nice way.
That's the real
polite way.
Go
back to my trailer and pray.
Yes.
God, let me just do my thing. Right. Let me be the character. Please take the fear out of me.
Yes.
And go back in there and just do it. And you know what? I've done that. And the director said, yeah, that's what I meant. Well, that's what I did on the interview when you cast me.
Right.
But you get there and they want to show out.
Right.
That's
they got something different.
I'll teach you a lesson. You're not all that.
Right.
Especially when you know that's right.
Bring the chocolate down a little bit.
She mentioned something about fear. I want to say this. This whole myth of no fear, that's a myth. We all have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And it's all fine. It's all good. All it does is make us. Okay. It can paralyze us or it can motivate us. motivate us, and so we use it for that. If you've got nerves and stuff like that, it only makes you better. Makes you. You can use it to make you dot your T's. I mean, cross your T's and dot your I's, and really make sure. That's all it really is for, is to make sure you just are on point, right? Yeah. On your cues. And so what I tell actors, they're like, I'm nervous. I'm like, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what everybody says, to channel that energy.
Yes.
Don't let it take you over, but channel it.
But channel it. Yeah, that's right.
It's tough.
I get nervous as I'm not nervous.
Yes.
That's what they say.
That's right.
I get worried.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh. Yes.
Well, we're definitely going to wrap now, but I have one last quick question for
Angela E. Gibbs, too. I learned from an OG, so look.
We're going to get your social. Who would you have play you in a movie?
In your biopic.
What actress would you have play you in your biopic?
In my bio?
Yeah.
Oh, if someone were to play me?
Yeah.
God, there's so many wonderful young
Angela
people.
Gibbs, she'd have me play. All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't know all the young people by name.
But is there somebody in particular that stands out to you that you look at? You're like, that's
somebody
that's
you
enough
just
a
love
comer.
What they're doing.
Yeah,
right
you love
now.
What the work they're doing.
I haven't seen you, doggone it. I don't know, but I would hope that that she would be someone that other people could when she performed me. Maybe she could know that I'm not that person without insecurities and know my strengths and weaknesses. And you do that in reading about a person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do your research.
Who's home girlfriend scandal?
Research.
You talking about?
It's gonna kill
like
me.
Like the lead?
Ooh, yeah, Carrie
Washington.
Carrie could do you. Yes, she could.
Carrie Washington.
That's right.
As long as she has a sense of humor.
Yes,
she does.
She's good.
All right. Okay. So now we're gonna give your social media again. Margaret, what's your social media name?
Oh, thank you so much. Margaret Shug Avery. It's Instagram and Margaret Avery. Is it 83? For
83.
For what?
Twitter.
Okay.
Angela, for sure.
And it's Angela E. Gibbs for all of them. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
So
Angela E. Gibbs.
That's where people reach you if they want to talk to you about acting,
right.
Coaching, producing projects, all that. Okay,
everything.
Great.
Right.
Margaret Avery for Facebook.
Oh, do it. Yes. Find her.
She on Facebook.
And she will friend you.
She wants you to friend her.
Right.
That's right.
And she will follow back.
Right.
Yeah.
Courtney.
Please, I'm begging. I'm not too proud.
I'm begging.
Listen.
Too. I need some more followers myself.
That's right.
Yes. Me too.
I'm not so great at the Instagrams and the Twitters. But
and I try to get back with a note, but if they're private, I can't go in.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
All right.
And comment on it.
That's fair enough. Well, I'm everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet. At
Don't
Joel
talk
Monique.
So fast.
And every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
I'm Daryl Christian. I'm going to talk real slow so Margaret don't yell at me.
You don't get on
you already almost got a spanking.
Tried to get on me earlier. I was afraid I was going to get the belt out. You can find me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you two for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you so much.
It's been very inspirational.
So
and we know we're doing the right things up in here. So thank you.
Gosh,
God bless
you
guys.
Thank you.
So much.
That's a success
Thank
to the
you.
Show.
That was fun.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Daryl Christian, Kiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.